This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we're taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Poland and Saudi Arabia. You are now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Hello and welcome everyone. We just observed the game between Saudi Arabia against Poland. My name is Ani Beres. I'm joined today in the car by Farid Mondragon, our goalkeeper expert, as well as our technical experts Alberto Zaccaroni and Sunday Olisey, and FIFA's Harry Lowe and Chris Loxton. Alberto, I would like to start with you. I felt that Saudi Arabia came out very strong, very confident, always trying to play forward. What is your analysis of the game and of Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia è partita bene.
Saudi Arabia started the game very well. They came up with a formation of 4-2-3-1 with a build up starting low, but with a bit of too much errors. The build-up had more potency when the balls got to the 6 and the 8 in the midfield, and they went more towards the right side to try to build, trying to use the weaknesses, trying to use the position being held by the Polish player Milik, and Milik had difficulties. Well, when eventually Milik decided to change from the right side, from his team's left side to the right, they did the same thing also. They started building up more from Milik's side. It's as if they had intentionally planned to use Milik's weaknesses to their own advantage. The fact that they were always trying to open up the game and wide gave them advantages. Yeah, defensively they struggled and that gave them problems, and they were forced to even make tactical fouls to like get out of the problems. Well, when the Polish scored, you know, it became difficult for them.
Continuato a fare la partita.
Yeah, so interestingly, Saudi had a really high percentage of progression phase in the in-possession phases. So they registered 24% of progression, and our average so far is 13%. So looking to advance the ball forward into those areas vertically as much as they could. In that first 25 minutes, they started really strongly.
And Harry, just to clarify and explain a little bit more, in our game states, we have progression, but we also have build-up. What is the difference?
Yeah, so in our phases of play, in our in-possession side, we have different ways you can move the ball. So we have build-up, we have progression, and we have final third. So build-up, both unopposed and opposed, emphasises when teams are looking to circulate the ball, mainly around with their defensive players, looking to how they can start their attacks and try and break the opponent down, typically in the defensive area of the pitch. But also we look at this in the middle and the attack in third. Progression is when teams are looking to break lines of the opponent's defensive structure. So they're looking to progress the ball vertically up the pitch into the final third.
And Sunday, Poland now had two consecutive clean sheets. How would you describe their approach to the game? What was their idea? How did they want to win this game?
Well, in contrast to the first game Poland played, Poland showed us today the first team that had a totally tactical setup based on direct play. They decided for the first time in a long time to play with two strikers. So a player was pushed up to help Lewandowski up in front, ending up with a 4-4-2 formation most of the time. But knowing the way they animated the 4-4-2 formation that they played left them with very little depth when they were constructing and very little depth when they were going forward. So whether intentionally, initially I thought they were being forced to play directly. By direct play, I mean when a team has the ball, you don't try to build up by short passes. You just go over the lines. You break the line by going over, trying to hit your strikers as quickly as possible and hopefully come from behind to support them. Well, that gave them problems, but it meant that they, each time they tried to go further in front, they lost the balls and they had to run more behind the ball than play, which meant that they were in possession, not really, really holding the ball for a long time, but they were just trying to break through. And that gave them the required result, because I don't know if it was psychological or intentional, but the opposition were very aggressive, they were compact, they were playing in small areas, and for that reason, they now had to make sure that they were not going to those areas where the opposition were compact and they had chances of losing, and then they just tried to go over that.
As we discussed it full time, Sunday, this was reflected in Poland's line breaks and how the direction that they were looking to use and utilise to perform those. So we had, obviously, we have through, over and around. And at half time, they had 9 through, 9 around and 27 over for completed line breaks. And by the end of the game, Poland had 18 through, 16 around and 58 over the opponent's defensive structure. So again, you can see by the numbers how they're looking to prioritise putting those long balls into the front two.
Yeah, and when I look at the figures you're sharing with us, Harry, I have a feeling as if this is probably one of the highest numbers we've had since the tournament started. Because we don't have the statistics in front of us, but you being our data guru, I believe that you might have an idea as regards if it's higher or if it's above the average.
Yeah, so Sunday, just coming in live, the average so far has been 24, and the highest we've seen is 37.
Oh, Jesus.
Up until now.
So they were going double.
Yeah, 58 were over, again for Poland, by full time, and that was out of 92. So they were, you know, over two-thirds of their line breaks are going over.
This is why I call you the guru. Thanks.
And Farid, one of those passes over where they broke the line came from Chesney prior to the first goal they scored. Maybe talk to us a little bit about that goal and his distribution style there.
Yeah, it was not the first time he tried. Before, he tried 2-3 times. I think Chesney was extraordinary. He was in top level today. First of all, we are going to mention this, his distribution, delivering with his feet, and was very precise, was simple, practical, very useful for his teammates. And then goalkeeping wise, I think he made 2-3 saves. Obviously, stopping the PK and the rebound of the PK was very influential to the game. He make a fake movement to the left, go to his right, and then the rebound, first of all, recovering, standing up, waiting, looking at the ball. So he will wait for the direction of the ball and then putting in this very, very close range reaction and very strong hands. I think it was top, top level. About Alois, he did good in the goals, nothing to do. Very, very attentive and very helpful for the defense when he has to come outside the box to play like a last man or a libero. Last game against Argentina, he showed us that he has a great lecture of the game, and the timing is very good. So I think very busy two goalkeepers today, responding good, but Chesney in a top level.
Farid, what people at home probably wouldn't have seen during the penalty save of Chesney was the goalkeeper coach. So when the penalty was awarded, the goalkeeper coach came out and he was stood right on the edge of the technical area. You clearly, with his analysis pages, so as soon as they saw which player from Saudi Arabia was stepping up to take the penalty, he was obviously communicating that to Chesney. And again, when Chesney saved the penalty, I think the goalkeeper coach was actually celebrating more than Chesney himself, running up and down the touchline. So it's quite interesting from the viewers at home that wouldn't see that naturally on TV.
Yeah, Chris, that's a fantastic good point. You know, goalkeepers are a mini team inside the team, you know, and for us, our goalkeeper coach, it's our north, it's our light, and to have not only this kind of communication, this kind of information, and obviously when the good results come in key games like today, I think it's a very good work from the goalkeeping staff, for the goalkeeper coach, and also for the goalkeeper. So This is a very nice and very important point that you're telling us, a great detail about this, very important, and I think they are more than happy than the analysis and the information they have been exchanging and gave today a very good result.
Well, Mister, I would like to add to it that there was a psychological play. There was a psychological issue at play today, and the fact that we all know that with the first victory the Saudis got 3 days ago, they've been living the past 3 days at a very euphoric mental state. Started the game well, and the moment they conceded, they got a very big strike on the head, and having that made them lose a lot of confidence, and it brought about a lot of technical errors from them. So it's something worth considering.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, everybody else, for listening. We will be back later. We were stuck in the car park for a little bit, but now the roads are clear and we are on our way to observe the game between Mexico and Argentina. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insight throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.